This morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class was from the following. Fifth canto, chapter 19, text 13. And here Narada Muni is worshipping Narayan on Bharatvarsha, our own place of residence. He says, O my Lord, Master of all mystic yoga, this is the explanation of the yoga process spoken of by Lord Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, who is self-realized. At the time of death, all yogis give up the material body with full detachment, simply by placing their mind at your lotus feet. This is the perfection of yoga. And I skipped the Sanskrit on that. Idam hi yogeshvara yoganai punam Hiranyagarbho bhagavan jagadajat Yad antakale tvaya nirguni mano bhaktya dati tuj hita dushkale vara. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is as follows. Srila Madhavacharya says, yasya samya bhagavati jnanam bhakti stataya vacha nischintastasya mukshasya atsava papa hito pitu. For one who very seriously practices devotional service during his lifetime in order to understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, liberation from this material world is guaranteed even if he has previously been addicted to sinful habits. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Pichet Sudra Charo Vajite Mamananyavak Sadhuriva Samantavyo Samyagvavasito Hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. The only purpose of life, Srila Prabhupada continues, is to be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his form, pastimes, activities, and qualities. If one is able to think of Krishna in this way, 24 hours a day, he is already liberated, svarupena vivastiti. Whereas materialists are absorbed in material thoughts and activities, devotees, on the contrary, are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and Krishna's activities. Therefore, they are already on the platform of liberation. One has to think of Krishna with full absorption at the time of death. Then he will certainly return home back to Godhead without a doubt. The theme of the purport here is that although one may have performed sinful activities in this life, if one takes up devotional service with all sincerity, one becomes qualified for perfection and going back to Godhead. This nullifies or counters the argument that smartas and other uninformed people in India argue that if one has lived a sinful life in the way that we from the Western world have for the first 20 years of our lives, then by taking up devotional service, one's heart may become purified, but one can not attain perfection in this life. One has to, after being purified, take birth in a holy place, for instance, like Vrindavan, and then by further practice of devotional service and the divine association, one then attains perfection. There was an instance during Srila Prabhupada's time when some devotees, including Tamal Krishnamaraj, went to visit one of the Goswami's temples. And in a discussion there with one of the Saivites, then they said that it's very good that you're practicing Krishna consciousness. That will qualify you to take birth in India in your next life. In other words, they were saying the very same thing, that by practicing Krishna consciousness, because you've been so sinful on your life, because you haven't had proper samskaras, because you didn't take birth in a Brahmin or Vaishnava family, you will become eligible to do so in your next life. And that will give you qualification for going back to God. Srila Prabhupada was very angry when he heard this. And he preached to the devotees. And then he finally said that you should have told them that if you continue living here in Vrindavan and doing your service, then in your next life you'll become qualified to take birth in ISKCON and do some significant service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So both Madhvacharya's quote, Bhagavad Gita's quote, and many other such quotes, of course, Krishna concludes the Gita saying that Mame Kam Sharanam Rajaham Tam Sarva Pape. He says, I'll protect you from all pap, from all sin. So whatever sin that we may have committed, and such as being responsible for the killing of cows, the slaughter of cows, which is equivalent to killing humans in Vedic culture, one can become free from all of those by surrendering to Krishna and by seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. This morning I was listening to a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, where Prabhupada replied to a question by talking about Kanishtha Adhikaris. He said, yes, that's a Kanishtha Adhikari. And then he said, they're not even devotees. One is not a devotee when he's a Kanishtha Adhikari. And Srila Prabhupada then qualified that, saying that they're actually, they're not the bhakta, but they're a bhakta-bhas, or a shadow of a bhakta. Why is that? Because the motive is not solely and wholly to please Krishna. They're not anya-vilasita-shunyam. They don't have pure faith, and they don't have the pure determination for devotional service. They have a motivation. They're serving Krishna for some personal end. So because bhakta means pure bhakta, because that's impure devotion, therefore in that sense Srila Prabhupada says they don't qualify as devotees. So when Krishna also says Am Tam Sarva Papebhyo, and he says Man Man Bhava Mad Bhakto, he's talking about being this type of bhakta, that we have to be not a bhakta abhas, but we have to be a bhakta who's dedicated to serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure alone, and doesn't have ultimate ulterior motives. He may have many things within his heart that require to be purified, but the process of devotional service will do that. But his motivation is, yes, let me please Krishna, let me please my spiritual master, let me please the predecessor acharyas, let me please Srila Prabhupada. And one dedicates one's whole life to that. So here in the verse it says, yogis give up a material body with full detachment. Yogis undertake very severe austerities. They dedicate their whole life with the idea of attaining a perfection. And interestingly enough, karma yogis, jnana yogis, hatha yogis, they don't even attain the perfection of going back to Godhead. They just, perhaps their hearts, if they're not mayavadis, their hearts become purified and they progress on the path. And even bhavanam janmanam, it may be many, many births before they really attain the opportunity to practice devotional service in the association of Vaishnavas and then go back to Godhead. Whereas for us, Srila Prabhupada is requesting that we just dedicate this one life to the Lord's service, and then, as it's stated here, that without a doubt, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Then when the Prabhupada says, then he will certainly return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. So, of course, it stands to reason that if devotional service will purify one from the sins committed in previous lives, why do I need to take another birth? What's the difference between a past life and this life? There's just a period of death. But devotional service is more powerful than the fires of hell or the punishments of Yamaraj. So this argument of smartas that yes, you need to die and then take another birth in a pious activity. No, everything is automatically achieved by the process of devotional service, but it has to be the process of pure devotional service. And then one attains mukti. Mukti hitvanyata rupa swarupena vivastiti. Srila Prabhupada quotes here swarupena vivastiti, that if one is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, then it can be understood that he's already attained liberation in this life. So we can tell ourselves how we're advancing in Krishna consciousness, how much are we actually thinking about Krishna. When we think about other forms and qualities other than Krishna in the material world, then we're not Krishna conscious. When we think of Krishna's form names, and particularly when we're absorbed in Krishna's service, then it's to be understood that we are absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And if one is fully absorbed, then naturally he will attain one's swarup, or he has already attained his swarup, as Srila Prabhupada is stating here. So such are the glories of pure devotional service, to minimize which is actually an offense. It's an amaparad. It's an offense to the glories of the holy name. It's to diminish, to think that they're imaginary or an exaggeration. But it's not imaginary or exaggeration. So let us really take it seriously, make the investment of this one life in something that will give us immediately eternal benefit and enable us to return back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.